Blog Talk Radio.
Oh! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Oh, what big eyes you have, the kind of eyes that drive horse mad. But just to see that you don't get chased, I think I ought to walk with you far away. What full lips you have, they're sure to lure someone bad. So until you get to grandma's place, I think you ought to walk with me and be safe. I'm gonna keep my sheep suit on. I'm sure that you've been shown that I can be trusted walking with you alone. Oh, Little Red Riding Hood, I'd like to hold you if I could, but you might think I'm a big bad wolf, so I won't.
Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones. I'm so excited. And listen, the number here for Paula White to call, I'm pretty sure Paula has finished collecting and counting all the money that she's been asking people for. She's been asking people for a $91 donation in lieu of Psalm 91. So I'm pretty sure by now, pretty sure Paula's done count all the money. So Paula, can you call the show? The number here is 516-418-5978. 516, Paula. Come on now, Paula. You have a doctorate. You, according to T.D. Jakes, you have a doctorate. According to Rodney Howard Brown, Paula, you have a doctor, so I think you're capable of dialing the telephone. The number here is 516-418-5978. We'll keep our eyes on the board in hopes that old Bubble Lips will call the broadcast, and we can duke it out on the air. Now, I heard through the grapevine, that there's a new book coming out on Paula, a new book, and it's about time that a new book would be coming out on Paula. Let's see if it shakes out. I hear that the book is going to be released the day after Labor Day this year, So let's see if that happens. That's what I heard. I hear some rumblings in the spirit realm. Paula, you need to get up into the spirit realm, and you need to start causing some satanic pregnancies to miscarriage, because from what I hear, Paula, there's going to be a new book out on you. That's right. You better start binding some satanic systems. Paula sold her first fruits offering this January. I hope she did, because, you know, Paula promises that if you sow a first fruits offering, God's got you covered from January to December. Well, she better sow another first fruits offering, because I hear a book's coming out. Who knows? We don't know. That's what I hear. That's what I hear. Well, I'll let you know more as I find out more. That's the rumblings. That's the rumblings. All right, Saints. Well, today we're in studio, of course, to talk about President Donald J. Trump and Paula White, his sidekick. Now, I want to pose the question, who's the real pastor and who's the real wolf? We have two people. We have two options in this conversation. It's not who's a real pastor and you get to pick 50, you get to pick among 50 people. And who's the real wolf and you get to pick among 50 people. No. This is simple. This is so simple that a kindergartner, a child in pre-K can tell me which one, because there's only one option for shepherd and only one option for wolf. So which one is the pastor and which one is the wolf? Now, I know what some of you are saying. Donald J. Trump doesn't preach. The president of the United States is not a preacher. He's not an orator. He doesn't stand behind the sacred desk every Sunday and deliver sermons. So he must be the wolf. And Paula White, who stands behind the sacred desk every chance she gets and opens up the Bible every chance she gets and talks about this in the Bible and talks about that. Now, she must be the pastor, so it's a slam dunk. Paula White's the pastor, and Donald J. Trump is the wolf. Well, I'm here to tell you, if that's the way you have rationalized your selection, you are dead wrong. You're dead wrong. I'm here to prove to you that Donald J. Trump is a biblical pastor and that Paula White Cain is a biblical wolf. And I have scripture to prove it. I have audio to prove it. The number here for Paula White to call in is area code 516-418-5978. That's the number here. And, of course, this is intelligent radio. I require that everyone who tunes in have their thinking caps on. This program is not for dimwits and nitwits and halfwits, like the kinds of people that fill the roles in Paula White's church and say amen to every stupid thing that this asinine woman says. No, this program is for thinking people. And if you don't want to think, if you don't want to use your noggin, if you don't want to use your brain, then don't listen. This broadcast is not for you. This broadcast is not for you. Definitely not for you. All right. Now, how can I prove to you that the 45th president of the United States, Donald John Trump, is a true biblical shepherd? How can I prove it to you? And how can I prove to you that Paula White Cain, Frigga, Fur, Knight, Hen, and what other names can we conjure up? Belial, Beelzebub. I mean, think about that. Because, listen, not only does Paula White have to carry Randy White's last name, but she also has to carry Benny Hinn's name. So she's Paula White, Hen. Jonathan Cain's name is really Frigga. So she's Frigga Fur, Hen White, Belial, because she's a daughter of the devil, Beelzebub. Yeah, I mean, we can just keep adding names. We can just keep adding names. So here's Paula White Cain, and I'm here to tell you she is a wolf, an alpha wolfette. That naturalists, people who study wildlife, people who study wolves in nature and who do that for a living, they call an alpha female an alfina. is spelled A-L-P-H-E-N-A, Alfina. That's a female alpha wolf. Paula White's an Alfina. She's a super Alfina. Well, brother, can you give us some scriptures? Oh, yeah, I'm about to do that right now. Now, let me just give you a quick little Bible lesson. This doesn't have to be in depth. We don't have to get really cranial, even though I want you to have your thinking caps on, and I need you to use your brain, and I need you to think things through. But we don't have to get super deep like Paula. Oh, I'm going to take you real deep now. Oh, I'm going to take you to another level. And listen, no, I don't like going down to retard level. No, we're not going to retard level. This is real simple. Now, in the days of the Bible, we classify the days of the Old Testament as ancient Near Eastern history. Ancient, because, you know, when you talk about the Middle East, remember, there's the Middle East and there's the Far East. The Middle East and the Far East. We're not talking about China. We're not talking about Japan. We're not talking about South and North Korea. We're not talking about the nations in the Far East. We're talking about the nations in the Middle East. Another term for the Middle East is the Near East. So when you talk about biblical periods in the Old Testament, you're referring to the ancient Near Eastern history. Or ancient Near Eastern terminology. Okay, so now, in the ancient Near East, in the times of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the pharaohs and the kings of Babylon and the kings of Assyria and the kings of the Middle East, kings were known as shepherds. Another term for kings was shepherds. That's a fact. Now, you had two kinds of shepherds. Two kinds. You had what we call political shepherds. These were monarchs. And again, this goes back to ancient Near Eastern terminology. So when you read in the Bible, that God is angry with the shepherds, he's referring to kings. That's what kings and their political entourage and members of their cabinet who helped the kings govern, okay? So there were political shepherds, and then, of course, there were congregational shepherds. A political shepherd is a secular shepherd. A secular shepherd is a shepherd that deals with civil law. He's dealing with civilians. He's dealing with individuals who are members of his kingdom. He's dealing with his subjects. So you have political shepherds, also known as secular shepherds, also known as civil shepherds, because they're civil servants. Okay. Then on the spiritual side, the counterpart of a political shepherd would be a congregational shepherd. The counterpart of a secular shepherd would be a religious shepherd. The counterpart of a civil shepherd would be a pulpit shepherd. So go with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. It says in Jeremiah 23 verse 1, it says, "Woe unto the pastors! Destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." Now here, these pastors being referred to here in this oracle put forth by Jeremiah are not pulpit pastors. They're not people who were handling the word of God. They were not people who were given the responsibility to preach from the word of God. These are not your church pastors. These are not your congregational pastors. These are not your religious and pulpit shepherds. These are not the people who stand behind the sacred desk and preach. These shepherds being mentioned here in Jeremiah 21, verses 1 through 8, these pastors are political shepherds, secular shepherds, civil shepherds. Okay? All right, so now let's read. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not visited them. Behold, I will visit you, the evil doings that you do, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither you have driven them, and I will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them that shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Now that's important. They won't be dismayed. That's critical. They won't be what? Dismayed. And they will not lack anymore. So when you have rotten shepherds, people are dismayed and people lack. To be dismayed is to be disoriented, is to be full of fear, is to be discouraged, is to be dispirited. So God says, I'm going to put shepherds over my people. I'm going to put political leaders over my people. I'm going to give them secular servants, civil servants over my people, so that my people will not be dismayed, nor will they lack. Okay, that's important. That's important. All right. So again, in ancient Near Eastern terminology, these people being referred to here as pastors are not people like me who preach and teach. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about political leaders, a la the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And if you don't believe me, do a little bit of research, and you'll find out that this is true. In fact, if you go to verse 5, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Why unto David? Well, wasn't David a king? Yes, he was a king. So you see here in this context, God is going to raise up unto these people a Messiah. He's going to proceed from David. I shall raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So in the context, again, this is all referring to political leaders who have dropped the ball. These were the political leaders of Judah who did not do right by God and did not care for God's people. The same is true when you turn to Ezekiel 34. Many times these verses are applied to pulpiteers, to people who do what I do, who stand behind the pulpit and preach. But in this context, that is erroneous. But brother, you say, aren't shepherds supposed to go after wayward sheep? Yes, but you see, the Bible here, the prophet, like in Jeremiah, the prophet here, Ezekiel, is using shepherding imagery. That's all it is. But these are not shepherds being referred to. Let me read to you again, Ezekiel 34. Paula. The number here is 516-418-5978. Paula, if your lip has gone down, if your two bubble lips have gone down and you're able to talk and not mumble, please call the show. All right, so Ezekiel 34, verse 1, it says, thus saith the Lord, or the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now, in Jeremiah, it refers to them as pastors. Here, it refers to them as shepherds. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? So, again, in this chapter, God is not coming against, God is not rebuking, God is not having the prophet chastise pulpiteers, people who open up the Bible and people who preach to you the word of God. People who exegete the scriptures are not being referred to here in this text. It is referring to political leaders. Political leaders. In ancient Near Eastern terminology, a shepherd, a pastor, was a king. Or in modern day terms, we would say a president. or a prime minister. But in ancient Near Eastern terminology, Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34 is referring to a political leader or a group of political leaders that help govern a nation under the scrutinizing eye of God. Okay, so those are two passages. Now, let me take you to Zechariah chapter 11, because in the book of Zechariah, which is also known as Little Isaiah, Isaiah is the prophet that talks more about Jesus than any other prophet, and the second prophet that talks more about Jesus following Isaiah is Zechariah, and that's why he's called Little Isaiah. So if Zechariah is talking about the Messiah, Zechariah also mentions the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist, the one coming in the power and in the name of Satan, the one we expect to appear sometime soon in history, the Antichrist, it will not be known as a preacher. He will not stand behind the churches. He will not open up the Bible. He will not say, I'm preaching tonight. He will not be a Bible expositor, a Bible teacher. He's not. He's a political figure. Yet again, using ancient Near Eastern terminology, the Antichrist is known as the idol shepherd, I-D-O-L, shepherd, idol, like an idol, like something you worship. It says here in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17, woe to the idol shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Utterly darkened. This is a prophecy which basically is saying God is going to jack up the Antichrist. Okay, he's doomed. The Antichrist is doomed. But notice the language. He's an idol shepherd, not a political. Remember, he comes in Revelation 13. You have the first beast, which is the Antichrist. You have the second beast, that's the false prophet. But the false prophet makes an idol of the Antichrist and has people worship it and bow to it and kiss it and acknowledge it to be God. And so notice, my dear brothers and sisters, he's known as the idol shepherd. Idol shepherd. Again, the terminology shepherd is referring to a future political leader. So again, I've just given you three quick scriptures to show you that in biblical terminology, a pastor, in some instances, when referring to a political person, or a secular person, or a civil person, a pastor can be a person involved in political government. Okay? Many of us just think of a pastor as someone who is strictly, separation of church and state. Well, no, the state has pastors. According to the Word of God, the state has shepherds. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. And this doesn't need to be dragged out. This is quick. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this. This is like I said, this is just basic ABC stuff. So let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto a higher power, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that are ordained of God. Wherefore, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. That they may resist shall receive unto themselves damnation. Why? Look at verse 4. It's verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do not that which is good, and thou shalt be praised of the same. Verse 4. Now, this is talking about people who have civil power. This is talking about political and governing functionaries in our society. For it says in verse 4, speaking of those in power, speaking of those who work at the county courthouse, speaking of police officers, speaking of judges, speaking of those who have been voted into office, Paul says in verse 4, for he is a minister of God. And why was he put there? To do you good. You see, what is President Trump? What is Vice President Pence? What is the secretary of each department? They're called ministers of God, just like your pastor is called a minister of God. You see, some ministers of God serve in local government. Some serve in national government. And then you have other ministers of God who only serve in the local church. So you have this political, secular, civil dimension to ministry. You have this political, secular, civil dimension to the pastorate. The same way you have a congregational, religious, and pulpit dimension to pastoring. You see, so you, again, very basic teaching. No one should be confused. Okay. All right. So now, what do pastors give? Again, my brothers and sisters, what do pastors do? Pastors give. It's very simple. Pastors give, and what the wolves do? Wolves take. This is just, listen, everybody should know this by now. Everybody. But since we're talking to Paula and her son Bradley and her retarded husband Jonathan Cain and all those other fools that are listening in over there from Apopka, we need to give them an edumacation, okay? We need to give Paula and her hee-hawing donkeys over there at Apopka an edumacation. All right, so now, what do pastors do? They give. What do wolves do? Wolves take. Very simple. If you can remember that, you will not be conned by wolves. All right. Now, we're in this coronavirus thing. We're in this coronavirus pandemic. And it's global. That's what pandemic means, right? It's in every nation. Okay. So President Trump, as the President of the United States, is responsible under God to be a good shepherd to the American people. That's what he has to do. What does a good shepherd do? Well, he protects the flock. What does a good shepherd do? He leads the flock. What does a good shepherd do? He leads, he protects, and he feeds the flock. When the flock gets sick, he heals the flock. All right? So are you writing those down? He guides, he feeds, he leads. Right? That's what does he give us? Guidance. What does he give us? Food. What does he give us? Many things. He heals. Doesn't he heal? Don't shepherds heal the flock? Don't they provide medicine? Don't they bind up the brokenhearted? I mean, that's what they're so they give guidance. They feed. They heal. Okay? They provide, they give inspiration. Inspiration, right? They get up, they stand before the nation when they give the State of the Union, and they're supposed to tell you how things are only going to get better. And this is why in America, if you don't like your shepherd, if you don't like your political shepherd, if you don't like your secular shepherd, if you don't like the shepherd that's in the White House, every 4 years you can change him. If you don't feel that your political shepherd, the president, has given this country enough guidance, provided enough prosperity and protection, and has provided no inspiration, if everybody's walking around, moping around with no hope, well, every 4 years you get a chance to vote in a new shepherd. That's what you do. Because presidents are there to give. Pastors are there to give, not to take. Only wolves take. Only wolves. Only wolves. Only wolves. This is why in another passage of scripture, when Ezekiel is prophesying, he says the leaders of Israel have become like ravening wolves. The leaders, the ones who were supposed to be shepherds now have become ravening wolves. We're still waiting for Paula to come in. Paula, you can come into studio by just simply dialing 516-418-5978. I don't want to hear your sloppy mouth saying I was called this and that, and I'm going to put that guy in this. Put me in my place right now. Come on, Paula. You told us you came out of your mama's womb fighting. Let's see if that's true. Let's see if you have a backbone. Listen. I'm going to have to ask, the next time I speak to a farmer, I'm going to have to ask him if a scarecrow has a backbone. I'm going to have to ask him. It just may be that Paula the scarecrow, the scarecrow who put scare back in crow, and scarecrow, we got to find out if she has a backbone. Maybe her husband can lend her his backbone. Maybe Jonathan Cain can call the show. Maybe Jonathan Cain can grace us with a little bit of "Don't Start Believing." Boy, that guy's a horrible singer. My goodness. He embarrassed himself when he was over there at the Jim Baker show singing that song, "Don't Stop Believing." Oh, my goodness. My dog sings better than he does. My dog. All right. Okay. All right. So once again, what does a shepherd do? What does a pastor do? A pastor gives. And God was upset with the shepherds of Judah in Jeremiah 23. Judah, the shepherds, the political leaders of the south. And then in Ezekiel 34, God is upset with the political leaders of Israel, the north. God was upset because they were not politically taking care of his people, which meant that they were supposed to provide the people with guidance. They were supposed to provide the nation with enough prosperity and enough peace, but they didn't do it. So God is upset. And we know what the Antichrist is going to do. The Antichrist is going to come into, he's going to step on the stage of human history. The Antichrist is going to promise big, but he's only going to deliver misery. And that's why he will be gotten rid of. Let's see if Donald Trump is a good shepherd. Let's see if he's a good political shepherd. Let's see. Now, what did Donald Trump do? Well, he built up the military. Didn't he spend a lot of money building up the military so that we carry a big stick as America, so that countries like Iran or Russia or China will think twice, three times, four times before ever attacking us, because they know that we carry a big stick? So it's what? Peace through strength. That was Donald Trump's philosophy. Peace through strength. And then he was guiding us out of the economic woes of the Obama administration, and he's been guiding us, and there's peace and prosperity in the land until this coronavirus hit. He was providing inspiration, and if you don't believe me that Donald J. Trump was providing inspiration, you weren't watching his rallies. There were people showing up, standing outside for 2-3 days in advance to go to his rallies to hear him talk for an hour and a half because he inspired people. That's what he did. So under this coronavirus, under this plague that we're experiencing, I have an audio on Donald Trump, and I want you to tell me if he's taking from people. I want you to tell me if he's taking or if he's giving. If Donald J. Trump is taking from the American people, if he's plundering the American people, if he's fleecing the American people, then Donald J. Trump is a political wolf, is a secular and civil wolf. But if Donald J. Trump is doing the opposite of plundering, if Donald J. Trump is doing the opposite of fleecing, if Donald J. Trump is looking for ways to provide healing in the land, to get medicine to people, to get ventilators to people. I mean, the guy is working 20-hour days with his staff, seeing how he can troubleshoot and get this and that and all this put together to help the American people because he says he loves the American people. So let's see if he's a wolf or if he's a shepherd. Remember what I said. Wolves take, shepherds give. Let's listen to Donald J. Trump. And this clip is entitled, President Trump Sending Checks to Americans. President Trump is sending checks to Americans. Let's listen to this.
A $1 trillion mark.
Now, this is Secretary Mnuchin. Secretary, he's standing right next to the president. And he speaks for the president when it comes to the economy. They're standing there together. They're part of the president's Corona Task Force. Secretary Mnuchin is being allowed to tell the people what the president is about to give them financially.
A $1 trillion market and is critical to American workers. It's critical to American business. And it's critical to American savers who have a lot of that money in money market funds. So we heard loud and clear there were liquidity issues. This is very significant and will create, I don't think we'll need to use it all, but we have the ability to have the Fed purchase up to $1 trillion of commercial paper as needed. That has already created significant stability in the market today. The second thing I would say is, you know, we previously talked about deferring IRS payments. The president earlier this morning authorized me to announce this program. I have previously announced we would defer $200 billion. The president suggested we increase that to $300 billion, which we will be doing. Now, let me just be clear on the specifics. We encourage those Americans who can file their taxes to continue to file their taxes on April 15th. Because for many Americans, you will get tax refunds, and we don't want you to lose out on those tax refunds. We want you to make sure you get them. Many people do this electronically, which is easy for them and easy for the IRS. If you owe a payment to the IRS, you can defer up to $1 million as an individual. And the reason why we're doing $1 million is that covers lots of pass-throughs and small businesses, and $10 million to corporations, interest-free and penalty-free for 90 days. All you have to do is file your taxes. You'll automatically not get charged interest and penalties. Now, of course, any American has the right to extend their taxes. We're not taking that right, but the president has asked us to go up to $300 billion. That's also an enormous amount of liquidity in the system. The third thing is the president and I worked on a very significant economic stimulus plan. Thank you for being available last night and throughout this morning, and I will be presenting that to the Republicans in the Senate this morning and also discussing that with the House. We look forward to having bipartisan support. We're now working with the Senate to pass this legislation very quickly, and these will be payments to small businesses. We've talked about loan guarantees to critical industries such as airlines and hotels, and we've also talked about a stimulus package to the American worker. You can think of this as something like business interruption payments for the American workers. Thank you.
Do you have any questions for the Secretary of the Treasury?
When you say a stimulus package for American workers, do you mean direct payments to Americans, or are you talking about a payroll tax holiday?
Although the president likes the idea of the payroll tax holiday, I will tell you what we've heard from many people, and the president has said we can consider this. The payroll tax holiday would get people money over the next 6 to 8 months. We're looking at sending checks to Americans immediately. And what we've heard from hardworking Americans, many companies have now shut down, whether it's bars or restaurants. Americans need cash now, and the president wants to get cash now. And I mean now, in the next 2 weeks.
So look at that. The president wants to get, he wants to give Americans money quickly. This guy is working overtime to make sure that the people that he governs don't starve, don't get depressed, don't lose their minds, don't get evicted, can pay their bills. This is what the president, he's working hard to give to the American people. He's got a staff looking at different ways in which we can give the American worker financial relief. That is a great political shepherd. Because again, if you go back to Jeremiah and if you go back to Ezekiel, one of the things that God was upset with his political shepherds was that the people that they governed were in dismay. The people they were governing were losing their minds, and the people they were governing lacked. God, the Bible says, Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." So Donald Trump, following in the footsteps of the biblical pattern of shepherding, wants to make sure that his people are not dismayed, because the Bible says, "Fear not, neither be ye dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever you go." So, again, shepherds make sure the people don't fall into dismay, and again, that the people do not lack. That's what the president's trying to see. That's why I'm telling you, he is the epitome, he is the model of a political, secular, civil shepherd doing everything that he can for his people. And now you may say, "Well, I don't agree with this." That's fine. I don't agree with his tweets. I don't agree with his comments. I don't agree with his treatment of this group. But listen, when it comes to taking care of the American people, he is shepherding the way a political shepherd should, the kind of shepherding that God would approve of, because all he's looking to do, listen, he's even saying, if you can't file your taxes, don't worry, we'll push it back. But if you're getting a refund, if you're getting a tax refund, do everything you can to file your taxes so that you can hurry up and get your money. He's not trying to keep money from you. He's trying to get money to you. And in addition to that, he wants to send money. He wants to send checks to people who now have just been laid off. Some people went to work today and got a pink slip, and the president is saying, we've got to get money to these people. Got to get money. They have car notes. They have mortgage payments. We've got to put money, we got to put liquid cash in their hands. That's what the president's saying.
I will be previewing that with the bars or restaurants. Americans need cash now, and the president wants to get cash now. And I mean now, in the next 2 weeks.
How much?
I will be previewing that with the Republicans. There's some numbers out there. They may be a little bit bigger than what's in the press.
Go ahead. Please.
What help are you going to give to airlines specifically?
I've had discussions with all the airline CEOs this week. The airline CEOs have had conversations with the Senate and the House. As the president said, I was up with a subset of the Republican senators last night. I've discussed that with them. I think, as you know, this is worse than 9/11. For the airline industry, this is they are almost ground to a halt. The president wants to make sure that although We don't want people to travel unless it's critical. We want to maintain for critical travel the right to have domestic travel.
$50 billion, is that enough?
I'm not going to comment on the specifics. I will tell you we're very focused. There's a lot of workers. This is strategically important to us, and we'll be working with Congress on this.
The airline industry will be in good shape. Yeah, go ahead, please.
There's been talk about $1,000 checks to every American, increasing support among Republicans and some Democrats for that. Would you support that going to everyone, or would you support some sort of income restriction on who gets a check?
Well, I think it's clear. We don't need to send people who make $1 million a year checks, okay? But that's one of the ideas we like. We're going to preview that today, and then we'll be talking about details afterwards.
Well, I think we're going to do something that gets money to them as quickly as possible. That may not be an accurate way of doing it, because obviously some people shouldn't be getting checks for $1,000. And we'll have a pretty good idea by the end of the day what we're going to be doing.
Mr. Secretary,
John,
can you tell how would the mechanics of this work? I mean, we've been talking about a payroll tax holiday, some $500 billion worth was floated to me today. But so how would this idea of sending people a check work? Would that be sort of an advance on what they would pay in payroll tax?
We want to make sure Americans get money in their pockets quickly. We want to make sure small business owners have access to funds. We want to make sure that hotels, airlines, we have an entire package. We'll be laying out those details later today.
Yeah, I have to say this. There are four different ways you can do it. That's okay. You can hear me well enough, I imagine.
Sorry.
Okay. People at home, you're right. Those are very important people, come to think of it, especially your people. Look, we have four or five ways we can do it, four ways in particular. I think there's a fifth possibility, but there are some very good ways of getting the money out and getting it out quickly. Payroll tax is one way, but it does come over a period of months, many months, and we want to do something much faster than that. So I think we have ways of getting money out pretty quickly and very accurately. Okay?
Can you talk about the timeline, please? How quickly do you think you can get this done?
The president has instructed me we have to do this now. So
look at that. The president wants people to get money now. 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 Got a whole team of people working. I need my people, the American people, to get money now. All right. Let's listen to Paula White. Let's listen to Paula. Let's listen to Paula White. Let's listen to this. Let's see if Paula is like Trump, a shepherd. Or let's see if Paula is a wolf. Now, Paula's been collecting tithes and offerings and first fruits offerings and Day of Atonement offerings and Passover offerings and, you know, all kinds of offerings. Lip surgery offerings, Botox offerings, plastic surgery Boris Karloff offerings. Let's look at Paula. Let's see what Paula, she claims she's a pulpiteer. She's what we would call a congregational shepherd. She masquerades as a congregational shepherd, as a religious shepherd, as a pulpit shepherd. Let's see what Paula wants when she talks to us. Let's hear Paula.
Churches do so much, not just from a humanitarian standpoint, but the greatest thing we do is bring spiritual truth that transforms. What we do as ministers of the gospel is so vitally important because every single day we are a hospital to the sick. Not necessarily the physically sick, though we also help take care of that. Many churches have health centers, etc. But we are a hospital for those who are soul sick, those who are spiritually sick, because we bring forth the word of God and we bring forth truth that gets deep down in your soul and the way you think and you feel about things. Maybe you'd like to sow a $91 seed, and that's just putting your faith with Psalm 91 or maybe $9 or whatever God tells you to do.
He's not telling me jack. All God is telling me is you're a wolf. Listen. People people don't have money right now. They don't have money. The president is trying to get money to Americans as quickly as possible. That's what the president is trying to do. He knows that people are hurting. He knows that many Americans, their pantry is just almost empty by now. The gas in their car, their gas tanks are almost empty. There's few dollars left in the bank account. The president knows this, so he wants to get money. Mnuchin said the president wants Americans to get money now. Paula is telling you and me and whoever else would listen, send her $91. She's a spiritual hospital. Well, guess what? If you're a spiritual hospital, I'm sending you spiritual money. That's what I'm going to decree and declare that you get a $91 Psalm 91 offering. I'm going to decree and declare it, and you just wait for it. You just wait. The same way you decree and declare that I'm going to have a breakthrough and I never get it, and you decree and declare that I'm going to have my special moment and that God's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing, the same way you decree and declare that everything that the enemy has stolen, I will recover, the same way you decree and declare, and I'm waiting, I'm going to decree and declare right now that you get a $91 offering for your spiritual hospital. This woman is a wolf. She's a wolf. This is not a time for pastors to be asking money from people. They've asked enough. They've taken enough money. If Paula White wants money, you know what she can do? She claims that her property, that her church buildings are debt-free. Well, go and get an equity line of credit and go get some money through your equity line of credit. You don't need to be bothering people for a Psalm 91 offering. Sorry.
It gets deep down in your soul in the way you think and you feel about things. Maybe you'd like to sow a $91 seed. And that's just putting your faith with Psalm 91 or maybe $9 or whatever God tells you to do. If you want to be a blessing to Paula White Ministry or City of Destiny, you can go to the website at paulawhite.org.
Be a blessing to Paula White Ministries? So the doctor can pull on your face again? So the doctor can make sure that you can, so that you can go back to the doctor to ensure that you can blink again? I would give you $91 if that would ensure that they put a metal rod in your back so you could have a spine and call the broadcast. I'll give you $91 for that.
But so, $91 to Paula White Ministries.
$91 to Paula White Ministries? Are you crazy, lady? Did you lose your mind? You see, my brothers and sisters, wolves take. Wolves take. Listen, in a time of great scarcity, in a time when people are about to go without, where mamas and daddies don't know where the next meal for their children is coming from, they're going to sleep at night worried. Will I make it? Will I make it until I get that check from President Trump? Because nobody has money. Nobody has money. You know what Paula White's doing? If you'd like to sow $91 to Paula White Ministries, I mean, that's what she just said. That's what she just said. Listen to this again. That's how you know she's a wolf. She takes.
Just putting your faith with Psalm 91 or maybe $9 or whatever. And we bring for truth. It gets deep down in your soul in the way you think and you feel about things. Maybe you'd like to sow a $91 seed, and that's just putting your faith with Psalm 91 or maybe $9 or whatever God tells you to do. If you want to be a blessing to Paula White Ministry or City of Destiny.
Why doesn't Paula White Ministry be a blessing to us? Why doesn't, again, I mean, the government takes and takes and takes. The government is always taking, but then when the American people need, the government now gives to the people. The same thing with Paula White. She's been taking and taking and taking and taking. Now it's time for Paula White Ministries to start giving to the people, you would think. What does the Lord say about this? He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravening wolves, rapacious wolves, wolves with a never-ending appetite for money. You're hurting, I'm hurting, all Americans are hurting, and this clown, and this bozo, and this nitwit, halfwit gets on her podcast and tells people to sow $91 in lieu of Psalm 91? She's crazy. She's a ravening wolf. That's what she is.
You can go to the website at paulawhite.org. We would love for you to help us and stand with us. We'd love for you to stand with your church. Don't forget, now is not the time to abandon your covenant with God. It's the time that you go deeper. Stand with your pastor.
Stand with your pastor. Didn't the pastor say that God was going to pour out a blessing, that the storehouse may have food? I'm pretty sure if you go to your church now and ask your pastor for some back ties, I'm pretty sure they're going to tell you no. I'm pretty sure your pastor's going to tell you not, don't come here. I'm pretty sure that's what your pastor's going to say. Here's Paula White again. Here's another clip. This is another clip of Paula White. Recent.
Around you right now. So I want you to know, as we get ready to pray truth, because the one thing we're going to pray is the Word of God. We're not going to pray just our own feelings. We're not going to pray anything else. We're going to pray truth. Now, if you're watching right now, at the very end, we're going to take up the tithe and offering.
Now, this is while the coronavirus is in full force. She's going to take up tithes and offerings. That's what she's going to do. Instead of inspiring her people, instead of encouraging her people, instead of having food baskets for her people, no, this ravenous wolf just wants to collect tithes and offerings. And mind you, she'll tell you, our ministry is debt-free. Well, if you need money, take an equity line of credit. Take some credit out on the property. But this is not a time to be collecting tithes and offerings. Even the president is thinking about giving Americans a payroll tax relief. What is payroll tax? A payroll tax is another word for a tithe. He's looking to give Americans a break from civil tithing. That's what taxes are. Taxes are a civil tithe. If you don't believe me, read 1 Samuel chapter 8. That's what it is. And the president said for 6 months. In other words, what he's saying is, in a political sense, we are not going to collect tithes from the people for 6 months. When are you ever going to hear that from your pastor in your local church? Never. Why? Because most pastors are wolfish in their nature. Not one of your pastors is going to say to you, is going to stand before the church and say, "Saints, listen, this coronavirus, we don't know when we're just going to take a six-month moratorium on no collection of tithes and offerings." You're never going to hear that. Paula says, don't forget your covenant with God. My covenant with God has nothing to do with money. My covenant with God has everything to do with the blood his son shed for us on the cross. But that's a wolf speaking. Here she is again.
around you right now. So I want you to know, as we get ready to pray truth, because the one thing we're going to pray is the Word of God. We're not going to pray just our own feelings. We're not going to pray anything else. We're going to pray truth. Now, if you're watching right now, at the very end, we're going to take up the tithe and offering. But I want you to know that you can give. Do not hold back tithe and offering. That's part of our covenant.
No, that's not part of the covenant. That's part of your scamming. That's part of your fleecing. That has nothing to do with the covenant. Under the New Testament, there's not one single verse in Scripture that requires that Christians give a tithe. Not one. And during seasons of financial difficulty, what pastor would require his people to give offerings? You have to be heartless. You have to have a seared conscience to go to people with no money in their bank accounts or very little money and say, I sow an offering. You have to be wicked to be doing this. Even the president, who I doubt is born again, I doubt very much that Donald J. Trump is born again. I don't believe the hooey that these so-called evangelical preachers are telling us about the president being saved and he's a man. I don't believe that for one minute. But he's got more of a shepherd's heart by wanting to help hurting Americans. This Wolfette, this Alfina is saying, at the very end, we're going to collect. Listen, you're in covenant. You're in covenant. Don't forget. Well, that's like paying your Geico insurance. Yeah, every month I got to pay Geico or Allstate. You got to pay your car note. Yeah, you're in covenant. Sure. But I'm not in financial covenant with God. I'm not.
That is part of our covenant. So we know that tithe is a tenth of the gross income and offerings are free will. I'm not afraid to say I always put my – I'm not going to change because of public scrutiny, because one hater or somebody or 10 or 20 or 50 people look and go, oh, or they call me something that I'm not. I have lived by faith through the Word of God all my life.
Yeah, it's easy to live by faith when you have all the checks being made to Paula White Ministries. We just heard you say to the people, if you like to sow $91, make your checks payable to Paula White Ministries. Oh, it's easy to live by faith when you're sitting on top of the pyramid scam, collecting all the money, laughing all the way to the bank. Yeah, it's easy to live by faith. Sure it is. Sure it is.
Tithe is a tenth of the gross income and offerings are free will. I'm not afraid to say I always put my – I'm not going to change because of public scrutiny, because one hater or somebody or 10 or 20 or 50 people look and go, oh, or they call me something that I'm not. I have lived by faith through the Word of God all my life. I don't know how he does it. Twana, I don't know how he does it, Greg, but I have stood on the Word, and I particularly tend to give offerings based on Scripture. So I'll put my faith with the Scripture. So every week I'm – so we're $91. I did it yesterday, you know, and I'll do it again today.
Well, first of all, when the Psalms were written, there were no numbers on the Psalms. There were no numbers. The Psalms were not numbered, so that's not Scripture. The numbering of the Psalms, the numbering of the chapters of the books of the Bible, and the insertion of number verses, that was done by man. That's not really part of original Scripture. So you sowing a seed of 91, everything we do it according to the Bible. Well, there was never no Psalm 91. The Psalms were not numbered. So how can that be according to Scripture, you dimwit?
Offerings are free will. I'm not afraid to say I always put my, I'm not going to change because of public scrutiny, because one hater or somebody or 10 or 20 or 50 people look and go, oh, or they call me something that I'm not. I have lived by faith through the Word of God all my life. I don't know how he does it. Twana, I don't know how he does it, Greg, but I have stood on the Word, and I particularly tend to give offerings based on Scripture. So I'll put my faith with the Scripture. So every week, I'm sowing $91. I did it yesterday, you know, and I'll do it again today. And
Now, what's $91 to a woman who says, you sow $91 and make it out to Paula White Ministries, right? You give her, you send her $91. You make sure you send it, you write it out to, or you go to the Paula White Ministry website and click on the donate button. So she turns around, takes your 91 that you gave, it becomes her 91, and she sows it. So she resows the $91 that you sowed. That's the scam. That's the bunk. That's the little game that she plays. She's sitting on top of the pyramid scam. Her husband is a multimillionaire. What is $91 to this skank? What is $91? What is $91 to this dirty sow? What is $91 to this woman? What is that? Well, listen, you can sow $91 every second, and it won't hurt you. It won't hurt you because it's scammed money.
If someone wants to show $9.10 or, you know.
Look at that. She's probably targeting those people that have $20 left in their bank. So $9.10. Maybe you have $20 in your bank. You say, well, let me just sow $9.10. Let me just sow that to see if God comes through for me. Because I don't know if some people may not even be aware that the president's trying to get money to them. But so she goes for the upper class, the middle class can give $91 every week. The upper class, like her, can give $91 every service. And then the lower class people can give $9.10. But either way, she's going to make out like a bandit. Either way, she's going to make out like a bandit.
Do whatever you can do, but remember to honor God with his tithe and your offering. We'll talk about that again at the end, but don't just hold back and withhold. I pray that you are blessed by the word of God, and let's pray now. Let's bombard heaven on your behalf. Go ahead, Minister Norm, and I'll wrap it up after you guys.
Well, we bless God.
Wow. She's scamming them in the church services. She's scamming them on the internet. She's scamming them in her podcast. She's scamming them every way she can. Can you imagine if Psalm 91 were arranged and really Psalm 1? Can you imagine if Psalm 91 was positioned in the Bible where it would be Psalm 1? You know what she would do? You know what this slick woman would do? She said, it's Psalm 1. It's Psalm 1. So $100. That's what she would do. She wouldn't even see. And then she said, well, if you can't do $100, do $10. See, this Wolfette knows all the tricks. Knows all the tricks. All the tricks, all the tricks, all the tricks. Now, here is Paula White, and she claims that she's advising, Paula White is advising the president. Listen to this. I'm so glad that the president doesn't listen to this whack job. I'm so glad. Because if he was listening to her, he wouldn't be giving Americans anything. Remember, the president, as a political shepherd, is giving Americans financial relief. Paula White, as a biblical wolf, is doing what to the flock? What is she doing? Exactly what Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:20. Paul said, when these wolves come in, they will not spare the flock. They won't spare the flock. They will fleece them till they drop dead. Here's Paula White advising the president.
With our president and with this nation this week, and today is National Day of Prayer that our president has called for prayer, and today we are going to preach. I've got a word from the Lord, and we are going to pray. And you guys don't like to sit next to each other anyway, so we don't have a problem with social distancing. Amen? So we know the common practice stuff. Let me just assure you as a pastor.
It's time to start internet distancing. That's what you need to start doing. Forget social distancing. Start internet distancing. Just shut the door and Paula White's Boris Karloff face. Just shut the door right there. Just shut it right there.
After a few things, while you remain standing, we have done an abundance of caution. We always do, but we make sure that we disinfect everything from microphones to pulpits to soundboards to all the toys. Even between services, we do that. We've taken extra precaution and make sure that we do everything. And this is a crisis that is global, and we'll talk about this in some day, a pandemic, they call it now. But I assure you, we will get through this. Amen? And
how does she know? What does this nut know? When Trump is standing up there with all of his secretaries and the real doctors, not people with phony doctorates, like Paula White, somebody, one of these reporters has got to ask Donald Trump, you know, your spiritual advisor has been introduced by T.D. Jakes as Dr. Paula White, and Rodney Howard Brown has introduced your spiritual advisor as Dr. Paula White. If Paula White is a doctor, why isn't she standing up there with all the other doctors? And you're going to see the president say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
Grateful for our president calling a National Day of Prayer today. I believe we thank God for the medical people of CDC, World Health Organization, the task.
No, the World Health Organization botched everything up, moron. They're the worst. They're the worst organization. They steal money. There are a bunch of fleeces over there at the World Health Organization. What are you talking about?
The task team that has been put together already, the expeditious progress that we are seeing, I believe is going to save many lives and help many, many people. And we are so thankful.
Yeah, the president is saving lives, and you're starving them by taking their last $91. The president is trying to save lives, and you're trying to fleece lives.
For that, we look back and over history, when you look at things and you see, like, boy, there were plagues back in 1300 that killed two-thirds of the world's population, and there were things that have done it.
Two-thirds of the world's population never died, stupid. Read your history books.
Can be quite frightening, and I'm going to talk to you about some of that, the things that people deal with, that we are so grateful for the technology, the advances, the day that we live in. We're grateful for all of our medical and first responders, our nurses, our doctors, our National Guard, our governors, our mayors, our county officials, everyone, and just, you know, the heart of good people. We have good people, and I'm especially thankful for the church, because the church is truly, to me, it's not a place that is a museum for the saints. It's a hospital for the sinners, for the hurting, and every week we know what it is to minister to people with a sick spirit.
All right, here it comes. She's going to start asking for money. We're a spiritual hospital. We take care of people. We do this. We do that. Watch it. Watch. The money. She's going to start appealing for money now.
six spirits and six souls. And what I mean is we've all, you know, had a sick spirit at one time. We all were sinners, and only by the finished work of Jesus Christ. But also throughout life, we just get sick in our souls sometime. And so we are continual ministers. Pastor Todd and I will be laying out and sharing more of some of the things that we will be doing as a ministry. We want to get everything in order because there's a lot of difference. You know, we're on it day by day. But one of the things that I was able to do, and I'm very grateful, though a lot of people don't understand sometimes an assignment on your life, I want you to know what God's called you to do, God has called you to do. And maybe some of your family members won't understand it, or your friends won't understand it, or people might not know, like, well, why would you do that? Or why would you move there? Or why would you go here? Or why would you go into full-time ministry? But when God calls you to do something, you have to be obedient to the Lord. And God will never call you outside of His Word or out of the confines of your spiritual authority. And there are many things that you know that you're not eating pizza. You know that it's God. Amen? You know that God does things within a certain order. And many of you know that my call is to be spiritual advisor and pastor to our president. I was able to brief him on Thursday. And I think...
You were able to brief him? Brief him on what? Brief him on the fact that you're scamming people? That you're taking donations of $91 based on Psalm 91? Is that what you briefed them? Because I can't possibly imagine what you briefed the president on. I cannot. I mean, are you a scientist? Do you deal with diseases? Do you have a degree in political science? Do you have a degree in germ warfare? I mean, what possibly could this moron? What possibly could she have briefed the president on? Maybe she briefed him on the fact that I'm doing shows on her dopey son. Maybe she briefed the president on that. Maybe she'll call the president tomorrow and tell the president that come the Monday after Labor Day, there's going to be a new book on Paula White. Maybe she's going to brief the president on that. What is she talking about? This lady's insane. I called the president and I briefed him. Wow. Here it is again.
Day by day, but one of the things that I was able to do, and I'm very grateful, though a lot of people don't understand sometimes an assignment on your life, I want you to know what God's called you to do, God has called you to do. And maybe some of your family members won't understand it, or your friends won't understand it, or people might not know, like, well, why would you do that? Or why would you move there? Or why would you go here? Or why would you go into full-time ministry? But when God calls you to do something, you have to be obedient to the Lord. And God will never call you outside of His Word or out of the confines of your spiritual authority. And there are many things that you know that you're not eating pizza. You know that it's God. Amen? You know that God does things within a certain order. And many of you know that my call is to be spiritual advisor and pastor to our president. I was able to brief him on Thursday. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I woke up that morning, the Lord said, change your flight. And had I not changed my flight, I would have left earlier. And so I took I think 10:50 out. And then also that morning, I was able, I looked at a schedule and felt the Holy Spirit to go in at this time, and I was so very grateful to be able to brief him and be a part of what the church is doing, because when he...
But again, brief him on what? What pertinent information do you have? Are you briefing him on your toe surgery? Are you briefing him on your lip injections? Are you briefing him on the size of your fanny pads? Are briefing him on what? Are you telling the president that John has a new album that won't sell? Are you telling the president that you got another dopey book, like Something Greater? Is that what you're briefing him on? Oh, I get it. You're briefing the president. You told the president that you went up to the throne room. That's what she briefed the president on, that she went up to the throne room and saw Jesus, but she couldn't really make out his face. Oh, I guess that's what she briefed the president on.
That is the president. So we have presidents, governors, mayors, right, or county mayors. We were saying that a lot of our pastors need civic lessons.
listen, this woman is stupid. She's just stupid. That's it. And that's it. All right. Here's one more. I got to play this for you. This is fantastic. Listen to this.
I was on Yahoo today, and I saw this article on Paula White suggesting that people send their January salary or face consequences from God. And I just bowed my head. I can't believe that this kind of thing still goes on. And I cannot believe in this day and age that people still fall for this. It is shockingly disturbing. But here it is. Here's the video. Of course, she says, honor God with your first fruits offering and click the donate button. So she goes on, and I'm not going to play any clips from this video. She's as disgusting of a human being as one can be. If you're watching this and you're a Paula White fan, let me assure you that this woman is as far from Jesus Christ as one could get. She has a seared conscience, and she is in it for the money. She literally slept her way to the top. I mean, try to imagine what I just said there. This is supposed to be a spiritual person, a representative of Jesus Christ, and with no conscience, she slept her way to the top, literally sleeping with Benny Hinn and right on through. And I'll tell you what, this woman is about to get paid because of this little video that she did. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, look what it says here about a good minister. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. This is who Paula White is. She's doing it strictly for filthy lucre. And again, this woman is going to get paid because of this video she just put out. Now, in this article, I'm going to show you how manipulation works. You ready? Of course, here's Paula White. We're going to look at some excerpts on what she said in the video. This is some of the quotes that she said. When you honor this principle, so it's a principle, and it must be honored, okay? So she's telling you that you need to honor this. Of course, these are words that she's using to manipulate you. It provides the foundation and structure for God's blessings and promises in your life. Good grief. I've been listening to this garbage for 30 years, over 30 years, and it's astonishing that it still works on people. But watch now how she turns this almost into an infomercial. Look what she says here. You can almost read like this. It unlocks deep dimensions. This is like a movie theater, what do you call it, a trailer. In a world where you donate to Paula White, you can unlock deep dimensions. See how silly that is? But these are power words and phrases that she uses. That if you just apply what I'm telling you to do, just send me your money, these spiritual truths will literally transform your life. Who doesn't want their life transformed, right? Of course, this applies to you and I. Here she even tells you, apply this. Everything comes. Here's another saying. Divine alignment. Good grief. Power words. For his plan and his promises for you. Now, here's the kicker. Now, if you read all this and you're like, well, I'm really tickled and I did get some goosebumps, but I'm not quite there yet. This is where she gets you. When you don't honor it, whether through ignorance or direct disobedience, there are consequences. So if she doesn't get you with the tickles, she'll get you with the threats. See how she's got all bases covered? And this is what every good false prosperity gospel teacher does. They nail you on all dimensions. In many other cases, not necessarily in this one, they'll get you on your sicknesses. They'll play to your sicknesses that if you just send him money, of course, God's going to heal all your sicknesses, or he's going to get you that love, you know, that new boyfriend, that new girlfriend, or, you know, the romance department, or it's going to be occupational. This is what they do. This one is particularly because she thought of something new, the first fruit. She's going to apply the first fruits to you. And so why not do it not to your first paycheck, but let's just do it to the whole month of January, right? How about that, huh? Brilliant, Paula, you harlot. Oh, scooch this over, of course. We want to look. How does this apply in actual scripture? 1 Timothy chapter 4, look what it says. We know Paul is actually prophesied about, and here it is. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines, seducing spirits, these are anything that take you away from the truth of Christ. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. See, this is Paula right here. This is Benny Hinn. This is Joyce Meyer. This is Joel Osteen. All those prosperity gospels, who could care less about the truth of Jesus Christ? This is who they are. Their conscience is seared. This is how a person like Paula White can have a full-blown public affair with Benny Hinn and not give a darn that anybody knows about it. They roll through these firestorms quite easily. Why? Because they don't have a conscience. They're walking devils. Let's wrap it up here. Do not send this woman your money. Not unless you just are a glutton for punishment or you love to be abused. Because if you send money to this woman, all she's going to do is get more plastic surgery. She's going to travel the world some more, buy another house, more cars, clothing. That's what she does. And she scammed you. You might not think she scammed you, but if you send her money, you consider yourself, you've been scammed. That's very sad. You know what you should do? Seek Jesus Christ with all your might. Get on your knees and pray unto God. And again, if you have to send your money somewhere, pray to God. He'll tell you where to send it. I can tell you that God's not going to tell you to send it to this one. That's for sure. Do you have any comments, questions?
Well, that's it, saints. That's it. Like the man said, she's a harlot. She's a harlot in so many ways, particularly a pulpit harlot. A pulpit harlot. Well, saints, that does it for today's show. Paula never called in. Too bad, because I was going to give her a good stomping. But like her son Bradley, she has no spine. And that book on Paula's coming out, I can tell you that much. It's gonna come. And when it does, we'll let you know about it. Paula, you don't want to tangle with me. I can tell you that much, because I will walk right up to the White House and have a little talk with the president. You're not the only one who can talk to the president, you know. And you're not the only one who can go to the networks, you know. And you're not the only one who can go to the newspapers, you know. And you're not the only one who can do interviews on Fox and Friends, you know. That'll do it for today. God bless you.
Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone.
Walking with